must make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Pay attention. You just may learn something.
It's the sage, Larry Elder.
Larry Elder here, the sage from South Central, the prince of Pico Union, the czar of common sense, the great Eldersky, Don Lorenzo. Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
That's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. A city council member here in California in the city of Los Alamitos, wants to sue the state government over its sanctuary policies. They don't want to be a sanctuary city, so they're suing to have the governor enforce the federal laws, taking the same position that Jeff Sessions has taken. We'll be talking about that. Also, Wolf Blitzer has told us that, wait for it, Stormy Daniels has passed a polygraph. Yeah, exactly. But first, for the next hour, my wingman, Tuan Dom. Tuan Dom is a American citizen from Vietnam. And Tuan, when you first came in, you said you wanted to also thank my brother, who's a Vietnam-era vet, as I explained to you. And you gave me a handwritten letter for him. And I thought maybe I would just call my brother Kirk, and you can tell him right now. All right. Kirk, please say hello to Tuan Dom.
Hey, Tuan, how are you doing?
Hi, Kirk. It is a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much. I hear you and Larry badger each other all the time, and maybe one of these days when he says, love you, maybe he'll get a response.
That's not going to happen. But Kirk, he was thanking you for your service during the Vietnam era. As you know, you and Dennis were Vietnam era vets. And he says, right. But for the service of you and those, of course, who served in country, he wouldn't be here.
No. I found that period of time very, confusing, I guess you could call it. I was very proud to be a member of the armed forces. I never even wavered on, my conviction of that. My problem was the way people reacted, especially toward the end of the war with all of the, chants of baby killers and all that other stuff. I just never could understand that.
You know, Kirk, as I shared earlier, I wish the Vietnamese people could have been there to receive the soldiers who came over and fought for us. Because I can assure you, if you know any Vietnamese families at all, their doors are always open. They love to make plenty of food. And I can assure you that would have been a very different reception. Because as I stated earlier, we are so grateful for people like you and Dennis and millions of others that have served to allow us to be where we are in this great country.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure to serve, and in anything and any way that I helped get you, free from that tyranny, I am more than happy.
Kirk, I have been flying across country ever since I was 17, 18 years old, when I was going to and from here to Providence, where I went to college. And I got to tell you, I don't remember the airline saying, if you are in uniform, you can get on first, which is what they all say now. There's a whole different attitude towards people who serve the country now versus those who served during the time when you served, Kurt.
Well, the system, when I remember it, was that you had to have your uniform on and you could fly standby. And then as the people started rebelling against the war, I guess you could call it, certain airlines started letting us fly without our uniform. And a lot of us went to those just to, so we could bypass all that mess at the airports.
Wow. All right, Kirk. Well, Kirk, thank you for coming on. You're doing double duty this week. I'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
I guess it's pointless for me to say I love you.
Hey, I'm very fond of you myself.
See you later, Kirk.
It's getting closer. It's fun.
Yeah, fun. I'll take that. Now, we were talking about Jerry Brown, the governor of California, back in the 70s. He didn't want anything to do with Vietnamese people coming to California. In fact, he and one of his aides tried to prevent an aircraft filled with refugees from landing at Travis Air Force Base near the Bay Area.
Well, that's correct. It's interesting when I look back at the history, because honestly, I wanted to reevaluate my position on the issue of immigrants. I wanted to reevaluate DACA. Was I being a hypocrite by having the feelings that I had with the immigrants coming in? And so after doing a lot of research, I found some hypocrisy with the positions that a lot of the political leaders took themselves.
Well, here's just a sample of what some of our leaders like Obama and Bill Clinton and Harry Reid used to say about immigration.
Those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers.
We have to listen to the concerns that working people, our forgotten working people, have over the record pace of immigration and its impact on their jobs, wages, housing, schools, tax bills, and general living conditions. These are valid concerns expressed by decent and patriotic citizens from all backgrounds, all over.
If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that, right?
In approaching immigration reform, I believe we must enact tough, practical reforms that ensure and promote the legal and orderly entry of immigrants into our country.
We will turn off the jobs and benefits magnet. We will ensure that E-Verify is used to the fullest extent possible under existing law, and we will work with Congress to strengthen and expand its use across the country.
Yeah, we all agree on the need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants.
That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before.
Zero tolerance for criminal aliens. Zero. Zero. Moving forward, we will issue detainers for illegal immigrants who are arrested for any crime whatsoever, and they will be placed into immediate removal proceedings.
We will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan.
I continue to believe that we need stronger enforcement on the border and at the workplace. That means a workable, mandatory system that employers must use to verify the legality of their workers.
If you break our laws by entering this country without permission and give birth to a child, we reward that child with U.S. citizenship and guarantee of full access to all public and social services this society provides. And that's a lot of services. Is it any wonder that two-thirds of the babies born at taxpayer expense at country, county-run hospitals in Los Angeles are born to illegal alien mothers?
So, that's why we need to start by giving agencies charged with border security new technology, new facilities, and more people to stop, process, and deport illegal immigrants.
By cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens.
Our enforcement priorities will include removing criminals, gang members, security threats, visa overstays, public charges, that is, those relying on public welfare or straining the safety net, along with millions of recent illegal arrivals.
Right now, we've got millions of illegal immigrants who live and work here without knowing their identity or background.
But we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants in this country.
When Tuan Dom and I come back, we'll be talking about the very different attitude that Governor Jerry Brown had then versus the attitude that he has right now. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Do not leave town.
Larry Elder, all true, all devastating. Call the Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Eldorado's Let Larry Know What's On Your Mind.
Hey, Larry. There's this Rod Rosenstein's wife, Linda H. Barstumian, U.S. attorney, and it says she's represented Mueller 3 times, Comey 5 times, Barack Obama 45 times, Kathleen Sebelius 56 times, Bill Clinton 40 times, Hillary Clinton 17 times between 1998 and 2017. Now, even if half of this is true, it would seem to me that Rod Rosenstein would have had to recuse himself, right? I guess they couldn't find anybody else to do the dirty work, right, to try and make everybody look innocent who was guilty. Anyway, Larry, getting really interesting, isn't it? The deep state is so desperate and there's evil. God bless America, and I know that God wins in the end. Take care, Larry. Bye.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. As you know, I'm in the final days of our spring campaign to rush food and clean water to starving children in Haiti through our friends at Food for the Poor. Anybody who donates over $5,000 will be able to sit in with me for 1 hour. My wingman this hour is Tuan Dom, who made a substantial donation to the Salvation Army. I want to thank you for that. Anybody that makes a donation of $5,000 or more to Food for the Poor will be able to sit in, as Tuan has for the last hour and a half, and co-host the show with me. Now, I've traveled with Food for the Poor and seen for myself the awesome work that they do. Angel Aloma is their executive director. Here's what he said recently as he stood outside a tiny residence of one poor family in a very remote village in Haiti.
They have to huddle in one whatever corner is the driest, and they can't lie down because there's mud on the floor. So,
and how does Food for the Poor help this particular family?
We'll be building a home for them. We never visit someone that we know we cannot help. So when we visit is because we have plans. We have already built 10 homes in the area. The money for food and water goes to Food and Water. These people, unfortunately, getting a home with no other help would be poor people, destitute people living in a nicer home. So we try to help them with food. We try to give them self-sustainable projects like either a chicken project for the community where they have 1,000 laying hens that produce 950 eggs per day. So it helps them not only to give protein to their kids, but also to sell the excess. And so they have, you know, something to bring in an income.
Angel is one amazing man, and you can help me rescue starving children and their families through Food for the Poor. Just donate $50 to our Spring Food for the Poor program, 855-918-4673, 855-918-HOPE, or you can do it online, LarryElder.com. Click on the Give Life banner. I also put up an ad on my Twitter account, also on Facebook. A simple $50 one-time gift provides a starving child in Haiti with food for a year and water for life. Believe me, it actually does. 855-918-HOPE, or go to my website, LarryElder.com, and click on the Give Life banner. Between now and the top of the hour, my wingman is Tuan Dom. He is an American from Vietnam, now lives in Texas, gave a substantial donation, as I mentioned, to the Salvation Army. Tuan, you need to walk us through exactly what happened. You're 6 years old now, and you're leaving your country. You're separated from your mom and your dad. Now, you've told us how you reunited with your dad, but you didn't tell me the story about how you reunited with your mom. But let's back up. You're 6 years old. They put you on a barge. Go from there.
Well, so we were trying to leave the country. And we figured the best way was by boat.
And there's bullets and there's bombs and there's stuff going off everywhere.
Yeah, there's total chaos because everybody is wanting to go. So we ended up going on the barge, and we figured that they had to pick up the barge because they need to take the trash out.
And so the barge is a garbage barge.
That's correct. It's a rectangular floating piece of
– flat thing you just put crap on.
Yep. They had walls in it, and so they pile a lot of garbage on. And so we were one of those hundreds of people that got into a barge, and we hoped that they would pick us up. But what they did
– Who's they?
An American ship. But every day they would just come in and push the barge back into shore because they were told not to pick up any refugees. We gave that up, and we ended up walking down towards Saigon. And while we were walking down –
So how far is the trek now?
585 miles.
You walked on foot?
Foot, whatever vehicle we could find, boats.
And it's five of you traveling?
Six of us plus my grandmother and aunt and her dog.
Okay, your dad's not with you and your mom's not with you.
That's correct. No other adults. So on our journey, we had this...
So how do you know what to do and where to go? Who's leading? Who's supervising? Who's guiding? Who's the navigator?
We were just following the crowd. And to answer your question, how we had help, somebody, this gentleman who was knowing the war was going to end, came by...
American soldier?
Nope. He's a Vietnamese soldier. Came by and said, I'm going to travel with you guys. We were in no position to say no. He had a cast on his left arm. He used to break people's noses to get what he wanted. He had a string with a gun around his neck, and he carried an M16. And whatever he wanted, he got. And with his help, if you put it that way, he was an evil person. Don't get me wrong. With his help, he was able to guide us on where we should go to get us the food.
But for this guy, you probably would not have made it out.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. When I say he's an evil person, he had no problem killing people. One time we found an abandoned home. We were all exhausted. We didn't have any food or water. The condensed milk that our parents gave us, along with a dried ramen, disappeared, and we were starving. So a few minutes later, he came back with a bag of rice.
Took it from somebody.
Killed somebody for it. We came back into the house. We were all exhausted and trying to sleep. Two ladies were arguing across the street. Keep in mind, it's probably 30, 40 feet. He yelled at them to be quiet. They said, "Who are you to tell us?" Took out his gun and just shot them both in the head. Didn't think about it, went back to sleep. That's what war is.
And you observed this?
I did.
So how do we get here? So you leave there, and then what happens?
We leave there. He ended up getting caught because the MP found him. And the stories of what he did caught up to him. He disconnected himself from us. If he associated himself, we would not be here either. And they took him out and they shot him.
So he said, "I was not with you." Had he said, "I was with you," they would have killed you as well.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
He's strange kind of honor, didn't he?
He did. And that's what I'm saying. There's sometimes with evil intent, God allows things to happen for a purpose. I believe sincerely that we all have a purpose in our lives. And sometimes, again, what I call defining moments, those moments define who we are. And if we're not able to see them or refuse to see them, we're going to miss the boat completely.
So, Tuan Don, pick up the story. So, from there?
So from there, we ended up going to California. And again, I shared earlier, my father was reunited. About 8 to 9 months later on, again, we were living in our rented home. Dad was supposed to come home. It was a Wednesday. We were supposed to go to church. He never showed up. He was killed in a car accident that evening.
And that's here in California?
Here in California, off the 14 freeway, not too far from here.
When we come back, Tuan, I want you to tell us how you reunited with your mom, because you hadn't seen her in years as well.
That's correct.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. We're also taking your calls. Shelton in Illinois has a comment he wants to make, Tuan Dom, so Shelton, please don't leave town. And Greg in Colorado Springs has a very interesting question for you. He wants to know what you think of Jane Fonda. So, Shelton, Greg, please don't leave town. I'm Larry Elder with Tuan Don.
Call in now and join the conversation. 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Larry will be right back. Stay tuned. Larry's father, Staff Sergeant Randolph Elder, says hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Hey, Elder, this is Jeremy calling about the VA comments. I'm a veteran myself in Phoenix, Arizona, and I've had nothing but wonderful attitudes and wonderful experiences with the VA. So I don't know what they're talking about. I've been a vet since 2013, and other than being understaffed, which is normal, unfortunately, with the government program, the VA is a wonderful experience, and they actually try to help veterans, especially with organizations like the VFW and the Legion. The VA actually helps. So I don't know what this article is about or why they're calling out the VA and talking negative about it, but they need to open their eyes and actually talk to veterans who actually get help from them, because I have not had one problem with them, and I'm 100% fit. Thank you.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Tuan Dom has been my wingman for the last hour and 45 minutes. He is from Vietnam. He's an American citizen. Very grateful to be here in this country. Greg is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Greg, you're on with Tuan Dom and Larry.
Yes. Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Dom, sir, I have a couple of quick comments. You still refer to it as Saigon, not as Ho Chi Minh City. Do most Vietnamese still look at it that way?
It's interesting. If you talk to the South Vietnamese, most of them will refer to it as Saigon. They do not acknowledge it as Ho Chi Minh City. The other interesting fact is if you book a flight, you can actually book a flight using code SGN, and it's still recognized.
And then my other quick comment to you, sir, I would love to hear the conversation between you and Jane Fonda. I know she apologized, but I could never forgive her for it.
You know, when I was too young to be caught in that politic infighting, and now that I'm older, I just can't imagine how somebody who has been in the United States, who have had the privileges, and seeing the experience of, you know, our amendments, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, right to bear arms, and having all these rights to, I guess the question is, get brainwashed into believing something that is so contrary to what we stand for. And it behooves me to try to understand the concept. But, you know, the world's an interesting place full of interesting people.
As he pointed out, she's apologized. She's apologized many times, but many, many people have never forgiven her. Jim is in Riverside. Jim, you're on with Tuan Dom and Larry. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Tuan and Larry, first-time caller. I would just like to say my dad was a Vietnam vet. He was World War II in Korea. My brother was my squad leader in Vietnam. And I'm proud of what I did when I went there. And I had two brother-in-laws that served there as well for a total of three tours, and my son's father-in-law. And so when one of the things that got me was that one of my friends that I worked with, her parents were from North Vietnam, and she probably had more thanks and respect for what we did because of how it changed her family's life. And so around Veterans Day each year, she'd come over and make a point of thanking me personally to say, hey, if it hadn't been for people like you, we would still be living under the thumb of communism over there.
Well, Jim, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Jim, I appreciate your comments so much. And that's what I was saying. I know so many Vietnamese myself who are so grateful. And I hope that we continue to hear more of those positive instead of the negatives. I have not heard or spoken personally to anybody who have said, why did the Americans come into our country? In fact, all the comments that I've heard is, we are so grateful and we wouldn't be here. It resonates to what you just shared. And thank you for your family for what they've done in their service as well.
Tuan Dom, how many Americans of Vietnamese extraction are there?
You know, the last number I read was 135,000, mm-hmm. but I didn't validate that yet.
Sarge Mike is in Sacramento, California. Sarge Mike, you're on with Tuan Dom and Larry.
How you doing, guys? Larry, I listen to your show, you know, monthly now that my boss has gotten me into it. I've been listening to you guys for months. And I want to say to Tuan, I wasn't in Vietnam, but I was in the Gulf War, Iraq. But I did want to say this. I saw the videos and all the historical stuff that they did about Vietnam and everything, and I thought it was terrible what they did to you guys. And I do ask those questions. Why did we even go there? Why were we involved? And then I understood when I went to the military myself and learned they had us there because we were protecting the underdog, you know, like not just our own country. We were protecting others as well. And just hearing your story and what you had to say, it brings tears to my eyes. And it just, you know, I'm that people like you are still around to tell your story so that others will know what happened out there, because they don't know the true story. And I was proud to serve my country as well. But thank you, Twan.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you, Sergeant Mike, for your service.
Thank you.
You were telling me, Twan, about your mom and about how she was treated.
Yes, yes. You know, we know our side of the story, and we really didn't get a chance to hear my mom's side until she came over. And the stories that she shared with us is incredible as well. They found out that she was married to a South Vietnamese soldier. And so what they would do as part of the re-education is they would have their hands tied together, my sister, brother, and my mom, and everybody else who they wanted to re-educate, and they would have them walk through the minefields for the unexploded mines. And if you tripped over one, and that's okay with them. It's one less mouth to feed. The treatment that they endured for torture is just incredible. It's very difficult for my mom to share that, and my sister and brother as well. Sharing that story doesn't come easily for them.
Now, I know you weren't there. We only have a few seconds left. Do you have any idea how your mom reacted when she found out that your dad had died?
She was an incredible woman. Mm-hmm. She's so brave. I don't know how anybody else would be able to do it. If you look at her now, she smiles, she has joy, and she's just incredible.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. If you'd like to call and ask Twan Dom a question or you have a comment, we have time to stick one in. So call right now, 888-971-7243, 888-971-SAGE. I am Larry Elder along with Twan Dom. Do not leave town.
Call in now and join the conversation. 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free, and all of a sudden, there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. And I want to thank Twan Dom, who has been my able wingman for the last 2 hours. He made a substantial donation to the Salvation Army. We also are offering the same deal to anybody that makes a substantial donation to Food for the Poor. Our campaign goes for another 10 days or so. Anybody that gets $5,000 or more will be able to co-host 1 hour of the show with me. Firecracker is in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Firecracker, you're on with Twan Dom and Larry.
First of all, Mr. Larry, I love you, and you know our daughter. My name came from her. Her name is Kelly Edwards, Latrice Edwards. You know her personally. And do you know her?
I do.
You remember her?
Yes, I do.
She's my baby. That name came from her. Now the world says, but to Mr. Juan, I'm crying. Everything, sir, you have said today, my husband and I, we are Christian Conservative Republicans. We travel across this country, and we act and beg and beseech everyone to thank our veterans, especially in Vietnam. My oldest brother served Vietnam. My pastor is a Vietnam vet. I love you for being on Mr. Larry's show. We love you guys so much. And for you to actually do this for all of America, I always tell everyone in America, please thank our veterans. I met veterans today, sir. Thank you so much for doing this and being on Mr. Larry's show. He's my hero. I love you, sir, and your family. And thank you for your brothers and your family and your mom. Thank you very much for this. I pray this whole show goes viral. I really appreciate it.
Well, Firecracker, thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Firecracker.
Tuan Dam, you said you wanted to say something about the whole concept of gratitude.
Yeah. So, you know, in doing the research of how do you find what makes who we are, I came upon this quote that I think explains it really well.
60 seconds.
None is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. And that's by Fred DeWitt Van Amberg. And I think that says it all. We have an abundant supply. It's never going to go bankrupt.
You know, when I give speeches, I say that all of us hit the lottery when we were born here in America.
Amen.
There are 7 billion people in the world. I dare say that most of those 7 billion would trade places with us in a heartbeat.
Amen.
Tuan Dam, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless
Larry.
You.
Thank you.
God bless you.
What can I say? Mamba out.
The mic has been dropped. All across America, the Larry Elder Show.
Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S. land.
Got no hope. I know later wrong. Ain't got no home. I know phase wrong.
Now back to the sage, Larry Elder.
Larry, how's that dancing on the ceiling going for you guys? You guys, this right here is why everybody hates Trump. He is so cold-blooded, revengeful, hateful, and has no class, firing McCabe on his 50th birthday and one day before his retirement. And then you guys wonder why Trump is hated. It also goes back to the fact that he's encouraged violence. He's supported it. And violence, because of that, violence has increased 1,000-fold. At his rallies, he told people to hit other people in the face, and he paid for the attorney fee. He's praised the president of China for becoming president for life, and has even stated, oh, I wish we could do that here. He has cheated people and abused people with this university, and by not paying people, does work for him. And he keeps going on and on and on. But you guys just love him for some reason. Screw the little guy. You know, that's called trickle-down economics.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, and
here's
with
the party.
That's enough for today.
Here's a party that I just keep keeping the list. They want more people to fry. They love executions. Mm-hmm. They want people that don't have insurance to die on the gurney in the hospital bed. They want that to happen.
Right.
They want forget about illegal aliens. The gay soldiers, forget about them. They're there to be booed. If you're homeless, foreclose on. If you have a home, foreclose on the people. If you're a teacher, fireman, or a cop, get rid of the guy. I mean, this attitude of causing cruel pain on people and getting cheers for it. What's that about, Howard?
This is not okay.
Is there a brain in there?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Tuan Dam, my wingman, and I will be navigating you to the top of the hour. He gave a substantial donation to the Salvation Army. I'm offering the same deal to anybody that gives $5,000 or more to Food for the Poor. Go to my website, LarryElder.com. Click on the Give Life banner. Shelton is in Illinois. Shelton, you're on with Tuan Dam and Larry.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dam.
Hi, Shelton. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, sir. If I may say, your story humbles me to my quick, sir. I'm proud of you and would welcome 1,000 more. I don't believe in the concept of quote-unquote white privilege, but my own father walked out of a tobacco patch when he was 13 and provided me with every opportunity, you know, that I could have taken advantage of, most of which I squandered. To hear your story makes me not only proud of you, but proud of my country which I have been losing faith in over the last several years. And I haven't heard how things worked out with your mother and your younger siblings. I hope well. I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your father. But you are America, sir. Proud to have heard your story.
Well, Shelton, thank you so much for that. Tuan, tell us about your mom. You told us what happened with your dad. You reunited with him, and then the accident that took place here in California. What about your mom?
So 10 years later on, after we were foster children with, if I can say their name, Dean and Barbara Bixler, they took all six of us into their home. Let me give you my personal opinion before I answer that question. I would never in a million years recommend taking six boys going through puberty, going through the war and the anger and the emotions, and putting them in a home and trying to get some civility. But if anywhere that could have happened, we were in the right place at the right time. Don't get me wrong, there were so many challenges that we had with, if you allow that word, just getting assimilated to the culture. You know, I grew up being called chink, Jap, all sorts of names, but I didn't let that stop me. We were living there for 10 years with the Bixlers, and then this whole time we're trying to get our mother over. And we finally found out where she was living. And so what we tried to do...
How did you find out?
Through relatives. And so it's sort of sending letters. Back then, we didn't have the internet, of course. And so we got a letter, and we found out she had lived along with our younger brother and sister. So we were elated. But we were saddened to have to send her a letter, let her know that Bo passed away. Bo is a name for what we call our father, Bo and Ma. And we didn't see her reaction. We couldn't be there to give her that warmth and hug from all of her children. And so we tried our best to get her over. And so what we tried to do was sneak money in and put money inside the cardboard. And what you have to understand is the government inspects everything. And the money never made it to her because they always found it wherever we hid it. And so my oldest brother was really smart. He realized that if you roll up money and you stick it in toothpaste and you hid it, they're not going to find it. And eventually my mom found it because she used the toothpaste. And as soon as she found it, we knew that it's safe because we sent encoded messages. We continue to send money, and we sent enough money for her to bribe an official that allowed her to come to America.
Is she still with us?
She is. She's living in Simi Valley.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.